Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back, Masters of Sex fans. This is the AfterBuzz recap of episode 6, 2 Cents.
Yeah.
A little bit of a punny title, I guess, there. With me, I'm Will Link, I should say. I'm back. I've been gone. I'm back. And with me, as always, Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
And Quinn Skillion.
Hi, guys.
Yes, I'm glad to be back after buzzing with you guys.
Gang the back whole together. Crew it's no longer the masked hers of sex. I came up with that 2 weeks ago and kept forgetting to say it.
And now I've ruined it.
Yeah, I've ruined it all.
Yeah. I apologize.
You'll go away for like a week and we'll bring it back.
Okay, right. I'll make sure before it's done.
Yes.
Well, this episode, there's kind of a theme that Bill mentions early on in this episode, I think, about people slipping away. Mm-hmm. He notices that in Virginia slipping away from him. He says that he feels his son might be, and he is, but he doesn't do anything about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knows to the extent of which Johnny is really slipping away.
Exactly.
I don't think he necessarily cares enough about Johnny to notice.
And even our two actors, the actor and football, actress and football player, I should say, Isabel and Al, what's happening with their relationship. That's an interesting theme of this episode that we kind of get set up at the beginning because Bill sees Dan Logan doing his tests with Virginia. He sees them talking. It seems very intimate, and he's starting to get a little jealous there. Mm-hmm. Dan Logan is on the forefront of figuring this out. He's figuring out what the scent behind the scent.
They really made some strides in this episode.
They did, with the gypsy moths coming into play and the whole introducing the idea of pheromones as something that works on humans and not just bugs.
In this way that, like, the humans didn't even know that they were having a sexual response. Or they were denying it. You know, they were just, they were saying one thing, but their bodies were doing another.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that the concept of pheromones was something that they had only discovered, I guess, in the 60s then.
Yeah, it's pretty new.
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
I would assume that that was something that, I don't know, because we weren't born in the 60s, so this has been something we've known about almost our entire lives.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually just fascinating from you learn something new every day.
Yeah. It's also interesting just thinking about Bill, how Bill was like, but what you want to do is you want to trick people. You want to bottle something that's going to make people think that they're feeling a way that they're not feeling, and it's like, it's faux. It's fraud.
Yeah, I thought that scene was really interesting, too, because what is the... I mean, now we're getting to, like, the morality of, like, perfume.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was really interesting because, you know, Virginia is still, you know, going to keep it all science. She says, no, we're just, you know, seeing what the human sexual response is. You know, that's what we're trying to figure out, the link between scent and human sexual response. So she's still keeping it, like, all scientific. But, you know, Dan is, like, he seems like a man who usually has, like, different motives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, well, I mean, look, he's only in there as a way to make money anyway. Like, this is a business move for him. And
he's not a scientist, like he said.
Exactly. And Bill is getting more and more, you know, leery of him for personal reasons now anyway. Mm-hmm. And we see him, I mean, there's also the big theme of a proper courtship in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is something that Dan is determined to give to Virginia. A proper courtship.
You're a woman who deserves more than a cup of coffee in a lobby.
Yeah. I think one interesting, didn't give her much more than that. Yeah, before
that's true. I think one interesting kind of through line that we've kind of had all season now that really was pretty loud this episode was this idea of fantasy versus reality, because we've had a lot of this like idea of like orgasming together is a fantasy that's not real, you know what I mean? And in this episode we have kind of this like, you know, Al was looking up at Isabella being like, she's the fantasy that I want, and now we have this whole kind of thing with like this faux, like, you know, with the perfume being kind of a fantasy and like not being real and stuff like that. So I think that was really interesting to kind of watch this kind of like the realities of partnership and then the fantasy of lust and, you know, all that stuff, kind of see like the little differences there.
There's always that kind of belief that in the beginning it is more of an illusion. You know, it's not, you know, the weird advice you get when you first start dating someone about, well, don't let them see this or you do this or even the whole, I know, growing up,
the honeymoon, putting on the honeymoon makeup phase and stuff.
Not, you know, getting up early to brush your teeth so that they don't catch a whiff of your morning breath or something like that.
Oh, dear God, not my morning breath.
Yeah, right? It's just,
I don't have morning breath. I'm perfect.
Yeah, it's flawless.
This is how you woke up this morning.
Yep. It's just the whole idea that it's, that we want to believe that the, that it, but all those feelings that we feel are real, that they are true, and that, you know, they're long-lasting. And that's not really love. That's just desire.
I know, but like, think about, like, long-lasting. Like, Bill and Virginia are so nervous about whether or not this is, you know, just through, is this nature or is this nurture? What is this?
Yeah.
But they still feel this desire for each other after all these years. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think Bill's speech in the elevator kind of hit that, and I thought it was actually a really great moment for Bill just as a character, because, you know, when Virginia was being, I think she was being a little hard on the process, because look, let's face it, it's not necessarily romantic to be returning to the lab because you can't go anywhere else at this point.
It's very juvenile. Yeah. Where are we going to go?
But at the same time, I thought she was being too hard on the whole situation of how they ended up coming together, because they, like you said, they wouldn't still be together this long. They wouldn't have, you know, like you said, the way you meet somebody isn't necessarily...
And even through all of their scientific, when they were putting... you know, all the wires on them, you know, for season one, season two. And, like, you know, they were going through the paces and they were, you know, kind of, like, writing down, you know, all the stages of their sexual response and stuff. But there was always something else there, you know. It was more than just writing them down. I mean, it was
maybe.
It was sexy and it was passionate and I don't know.
I think it kind of spoke to just the viewpoint that, you know, a lot of the times people are having two very different experiences. With Isabella, she was having the experience of meeting this guy and feeling drawn to him, and he was having the feeling of wanting to conquer this woman. Yeah. No, Isabella and Al.
Oh,
the,
sorry.
The
I thought we were talking,
because
I know the Tessa's, the actress's name is Isabella, isn't it?
Her real Isabella.
No, the actress, I think, is Kristen...
No, Tessa. The woman who plays Tessa, the girl.
Isabella plays... Yeah.
No, I'm just speaking... I only speak in terms of characters, but...
They shouldn't cast people with names in the show.
Yeah, that's... Listen up, casting directors.
No, but it's just that they had two different experiences of... Or, ideas of how their relationship started.
So true.
And it's kind of a similar thing with Bill and Virginia. Virginia... I didn't have any type of real desire for Bill in the beginning. Like, if you really think back to season one, when they were having sex, she was thinking about it more from purely the whole point of it being a scientific thing to test and to research. And Bill was the one who had the feelings and the desire, and that's why he wanted to continue doing it.
At the end of the season, he even showed up there at the end of the first season on her doorstep. And
that's right.
To confess these feelings, that she isn't going to confess
She never really reciprocated the feelings as strongly as Bill did. And that's kind
that's
of like
definitely true.
A big issue, and I think a lot of relationships is that people are or in the relationship, experiencing two different levels of love.
Do you think in every relationship there's always one person who's always more into it?
I think in a relationship that's going to inevitably end, yes. But
well, I think, though, given times, even in relationships that's working, there might be somebody feeling it always
time,
a little bit more than the other.
Yeah. It can come and go.
And I think the reason why I was thinking you were talking about Tessa is because she obviously had a very different experience than her, whatever that guy's name was. So
The other thing that, you know, we're talking about Virginia, not only does she is there a denial of maybe what this relationship really is? Because you're absolutely right about how it started. But at this point, as you were saying, Gwen, years in, clearly those feelings have changed. But not only was she in a little bit of denial about their relationship and how it started, she even flat out denies ever putting on the wires and stuff later to Dan. And I guess that's also to hide the idea that. But I mean, even the idea that they could have been on there by themselves, you know. So
it's true.
So that's, you know, Virginia and Bill's relationship, it really is at this big crossroads. You know, she, by the end of the episode, has gotten together with Dan.
Yeah.
They spent the night together.
Well, maybe not the whole night. Maybe just a couple hours.
That's true, because she does make it back home in time.
She's home
to
by midnight, so from between 9 and 12.
Yeah.
And also, I thought it was a great scene, and we had talked about this in episodes previously, the perils of dealing with the fame factor. And they go to their old hotel, what is it, Dr. Holden.
The old stomping grounds.
To be Dr. And Mrs. Holden. And he walks up to the concierge order, and right away is completely recognized as Bill Masters.
Yeah.
And she's Virginia Johnson. And I love how
abort mission, let's get out here.
Yeah, he wants that. I love how excited the concierge is about seeing them. That he owns the book.
Yeah. And it's helping with his marriage.
Yeah.
So until Virginia gets her parents out of there, they're back to the lab for sex. Although I don't think, I'm assuming that night they actually.
Cock block is the word that we would use for that.
That's right.
The concierge cock block.
Yeah.
Concierge, and mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that the mom isn't even trying to, and we'll get to her, but she's not even trying to cock block. She's just.
I know, she's like doing the opposite. She's like, now kiss!
By being so into the idea of them. She is cock-blocking.
She's making it the least sexy thing that you can do.
And it's just, I think that all feeds into the whole thing that's going on with Virginia thinking about the relationship. And because she has such a tumultuous relationship with her mother, is that the idea that the mom thinks this is a good idea, probably in the back of Virginia says, like, no, this must not be a good idea then.
This is the exact opposite.
Yeah, like, I'm going to do the exact opposite of my mother.
And that's probably what pushed her towards Dan, too. You know what I mean? Just something different, even though, I mean, as far as we know, Dan is married, yes?
Dan is married. But I think also Virginia's kind of attracted to the newness of things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's not, and I know people like that in my life who, they don't really care much for what happens in the long term parts of relationships. They care for the seduction and
the butterflies.
Yeah. And
the
desire.
As it is.
And so I feel like Virginia, to a certain extent, the reason she kind of goes with Dan is because he offers that. He offers, he desires her. He wants to seduce her. He wants to take her out to dinner. He doesn't think it's okay to sneak around or, you know, like have sex in a lab. They do go to a hotel room. So she gets that kind of feeling that she can't really get with Bill anymore.
But that's interesting because that's kind of like the more traditional way to go about it. And I feel like with Virginia's mother being like so crazy traditional and so like staunch in the old ways that you'd think that like Virginia would crave something that was like non-conventional.
It's still a courtship, but it's still twisted in that way.
He is
married.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a
it's like it's one
more
thing that's not right.
Well, it's weird for such a woman who comes off so traditional that she's all in favor of Virginia breaking up a marriage.
Yeah.
Like she has no qualms with that.
Because she has this delusion. She has the fantasy that we were talking about before.
But
there was a great line where he says, like, we all have the stories that we need to tell ourselves. You know, I mean, that's Virginia's mother.
Mm-hmm. The what else is great is that, I do think it so much is about the mother pushing her towards this goddamn. Because she asked Dan out the second after the mother brought up the Bill thing. And
the second mom gave her blessing about the Bill thing, Virginia was like, literally, never mind.
And this episode where the mother keeps pushing to the point where they have Bill over for dinner and then they leave to take the 3-month-old baby out for ice cream.
I know.
That's the episode that she does end up with Dan then. So.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't necessarily think the mother is so staunch on being like a traditional, you know, this is how things work. I think she's just kind of sexist against like a liberated woman and wants her daughter to be protected and thinks that the only way that she can be protected and seen as like a kept woman is to be with with Bill, yeah. that her current husband doesn't fit the bill.
she has very strict ideas about gender roles yeah. this time, and we see that
the hairstyle that she gave Tessa was fucking ancient.
That's what we really see in this episode, her relationship with Tessa.
Yeah.
And previous to this, you know, we had talked about how Tessa is called the grandmother, and it seems like she was.
I just never thought it was going to be the grandmother that she turned to, because it did seem like she was kind of archaic in her mindset.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you know, before we actually saw Grandma, we really didn't know where she was.
Yeah.
In terms of what she thought about Virginia's work, mm-hmm. in terms of how progressive a thinker she, we really didn't know anything until we actually met her. Because like going into this, I was like, "Oh, I really think Tessa is going to find a kindred spirit in her grandmother."
Yeah,
and that's not what happened.
And this episode was the best example of that. Tessa wrote an essay that got printed in a magazine, and mm-hmm. this is the best connection we've seen so far to her being like her mother. Yeah. Her mm-hmm. mother wrote a book. Tessa feels compelled to write this essay, mm-hmm. sends it in on a lark, she says.
Yeah.
And the grandmother is so dismissive of it,
yeah.
because she looks at that magazine and she doesn't see this great thing that her granddaughter, she says, but we can get you this hairstyle and we can get you a boy. Like, we yeah. can, because it's all about that. It's all about attracting the men. And, you know, it worries me that we never got to this point, but if she did tell her grandmother what happened with the boy in the car, whose name I can't remember, mm-hmm. but that the grandmother might be, oh, that's just what you do.
Yeah. But we commented on that, I yeah. think, a while ago, that the grandmother could be potentially be someone who's just like, well, that's just the way it is.
Boys will
like,
be boys.
You're at the service of a man. And yeah. that's not an uncommon thing to hear, especially from women of that time. I think my mother is, to a certain extent, said that to me.
Oh, okay.
I am, sex is for the man. And I'm like, okay, Mom.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't unfortunately believe you, but
it was like weird. It was so weird to see, you know, Tess kind of have this like wonderful little academic achievement and then have Grandma say, yeah, no, but this is what really yeah. matters.
Focus That's on all that matters really matters.
It's just your hairstyle and how attractive you come off to the opposite sex.
And so. We saw Tessa push back a little, just a little bit. She eventually agrees to the hairstyle. And when Virginia comes home mm. and sees that hairstyle and all the hairspray and stuff like that, mm. it's the first real moment this season, or I guess ever, because that we see the two of them kind of bond for a second mm. over, like, pain in the ass grandma did mm-hmm. this. Like, and Tessa's clearly just doing this to keep the grandmother happy, and that's when Virginia and her mother have the big blowout fight, which was yeah. another standout scene. Francis Fisher, who plays mm-hmm. him, did a fantastic job in mm-hmm. that, I thought.
Yeah.
Great moment.
It was a really great moment, and I think it was really important that Tessa overheard it. I think that's gonna be such an important part in terms of getting Tessa and Virginia to have a good relationship.
I think it was derailed, unfortunately, though.
Yeah. You don't
just
think
by the end, because if she saw
the unbuttoned dress.
Definitely, 100%.
And it's just so frustrating, because it does kind of play into the whole idea that they are still people of their time, and to have Virginia come home with her blouse like not done correctly, it does kind of make, in Tessa's eyes at least, Virginia seem as like she's a mess, like she's a harlot or something like that.
Do you think it's because it's a man or because it's Bill is what bothers Tessa the most? Do you think the problem is she doesn't like that her mother's out there with some guy and maybe not spending time with her or
in the
home?
It's just,
or is
any
it
guy. Bill especially, but the fact that it's just kind of, when you have one person in your ear constantly saying that you have to preen and be this way for a man, and that your life should only be about a man, and then you have another woman who's saying, well, no, you can be intelligent and smart and you can be whatever you want to be, but P.S. I'm like coming home with my shirt undone and I'm not mm-hmm. really, my life doesn't seem put together.
She's getting too serious.
Which wasn't even Bill that time,
exactly.
Which is what's funny, but mm-hmm. Tessa, but as far as Tessa knows,
and
it's
just growing up in that society, the dominant voice is this, like, a woman should behave this way and act this way, and it is for the benefit of the man. Whereas Virginia's voice is the outlier. You know, it's not the normal mm-hmm. thing. in her life doesn't seem to be better for it. So Tessa may not want to be like her mother in the long run because of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about then what's going on with Bill's life in this episode.
Oof.
Where Bill decides he's with Paul, and I was kind of surprised to see that he was spending time with Paul still, because the last time I think we saw the two of them they had a moment that kind of petered out where over the football cards and stuff like that.
Their
where
neighbors
Paul
was and,
yeah, I like Paul, I gotta say. I wasn't sure how I felt about him for a while, but this episode kind of solidified that, like, you know, in terms of like all the he's just as, you know, morally in the same boat as like every other character on the show, kind of just like doing his best, you know what I mean? So I think that, and then kind of watching him kind of like really care about Johnny, you know, that to me was like,
he's a good coach. He's a good football coach. And the scene where Bill was kind of undermining him as the assistant coach and trying to put in Dennis, and he didn't know it was Dennis at the time, put in the quarterback. You know, Paul was right. Like, people have to learn the rules, and if, you know, Dennis had been late, this was his punishment. He's not supposed to play, but Bill gets him in there anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, I did like that scene where he was really showing how he cares about Johnny on the team and stuff like that, brought him home, was taking care of him. And he was absolutely right that you can't, what was it, mollycoddle the kid. You gotta let him go out there. And Libby was so...
Libby was like just vicious mama bear.
Really pissing me off. Like, because she just...
Libby makes the craziest choices
to
him.
Okay, I wanted to get into more of Bill's questions, but maybe let's talk about Libby here, because Libby, if there's ever been... Libby, I think I said this to you, Adrian, in the first episode we did. From season one to at least the beginning of season three, no character... I didn't like Libby in season one with all the, like, you know, she'd call Bill, like, daddy and things like that, and all these things that just felt so antiquated and weird. And then last season she became, like, such this kind of more liberated woman and getting involved in the civil rights thing, and it was... And now, this episode, I feel like she is at peak crazy.
Yeah.
She is... The beginning of this episode, we see her kind of... having this confessional to Joy.
Which, and didn't I, it was kind of like, oh my God, crazy. She keeps talking to people who aren't listening. Like, no one's listening to me. She's now literally talking to someone who cannot hear her.
And she's telling her the story, but I think there was a very telling moment in that where she basically said that it was that lie about getting pregnant that she feels is the moment that drove Bill away from her. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like I
can't... Maybe that's just when she first started to notice it.
Yeah, because I'd have to replay season one in my head for a little while to think about, but I feel like she had lost Bill long before that. There wasn't much. Look, if your husband...
The show starting off was, there was tension there already. It was
and he did not want to have a kid. Yeah. You know, they had the separate beds there. Anytime you have that going on, there's already problems.
Well, Libby, I think, always kind of was played as, at least in how I viewed her, as a trophy wife. She wasn't a partner to Bill. She was somebody that was there that would cook his breakfast and his lunch and his dinner and make his bed when he left.
And he still doesn't see her as an equal.
No.
Yeah, and she was never his equal. So when he met Virginia, for her to kind of take on the role of being a partner, you know, that he could have that kind of life with, I think that was much more appealing. I don't think he ever approached Libby from the stance of, like, this is somebody who's going to be my partner in life. This is just what I need to do because that's what the times call for.
And a lot of that, yeah, exactly, because I feel like
Libby really is like a sign of this. She's one of the clearest sign of the times on the show.
She's a victim of her time.
Yeah, she
because is. Libby went into this marriage thinking that that was fine and think that's the way. And now clearly she's changed her way of thinking. Because even in this episode, you see him giving her crap when she goes, where were you? I have to be at work in an hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so she's still, she's definitely a victim of her times. And the interesting thing that she does in this episode is, so she finds the key to the apartment that Joy was going to live in that when she was leaving Paul. Mm-hmm. And she decides to go to this apartment. And then along the way she decides not only just go to this apartment, but she is going to basically live another life. She is going to be Joy now. Mm-hmm. And she's in this apartment, and she goes there and takes a bath.
And it was funny because she did exactly what the snack mom sitting on the bench had told her not to do. Yeah. She's like, you want to go home, take a bath, they're all going to call you a bad mom. And you know what Libby did?
She went...
She went to someone's house and took a bath.
She went to be not Libby.
Yeah.
She went to go be not Libby, take a bath. And then I love the scene. I think we all kind of laughed a little bit when we saw when she's sitting at the table drinking the coffee and talking about, this time of the day or whatever. And the guy, the super of the building's there.
Just complete BS. Yeah. Like what she's saying.
And he knew too, because didn't he like go like, Mrs. Edley or whatever?
Yeah. That was weird because...
I would assume had met Joy before.
And he's just letting this roll.
And he's just letting it roll. Well, I mean, 6 months rent is already paid, so whatever. Why not let it? If that's what she wants to do, what's the harm, really?
I think so, too. I think he must have been
Because from the moment she said that, like, I'm Joy, he was kind of like,
no, you're not.
Yeah, but he never, like... Well, why doesn't he outwardly... does he just not care because it's paid for and it's fine? And what do I care? Somebody's paying money to live here.
Yeah,
who cares who it is?
And also, it's like pretty Libby.
They also kind of just... And it was so brief, but when he mentioned that he himself was divorced, I think that kind of was a way of saying, like, this is why he's okay with it. It's not... He is someone who is also kind of living on the outside of what's considered normal. You know, getting divorced in the 60s... getting divorced before the 80s was what?
But it was also a little bit of a warning sign, too, because he was like, you know, I really feel bad about what it did to my children. And Libby was like, my children are fine.
Yeah. Where's the story, though, that where these children are at this time? Like, her three... I expected her to say she didn't have kids when he asked.
I thought the same thing. Yeah. I was really surprised that she said she did.
Because it feels like, again, a woman in the 60s has a lot more to explain... Where are the kids?
And I think that's why they made that point of saying that he was divorced, so that he wouldn't find that to be too odd. He would be more understanding of it. But if also he also realizes that she's not who she says she is, and he probably is like, well, she's going home to her children after she does this anyway.
It was like weird that she was pretending to be someone else, but not fully. You know what I mean? She almost inhabited an entire different person, but she still was like, I'm still a mother. Mm-hmm. She was very much like den mother in this episode, I feel like.
I mean, I guess this is kind of a prediction, but since we're talking about it, I feel like she's just going, though, to more and more become Joy. And I think this might be I wouldn't be shocked.
You mean she's going to become comatose?
Yes, exactly. And she's just going to be in the apartment all day. The super will come in and check on her. But she's going to become more like this other person. I think by the end of the season, maybe that'll be the thing. Like, Joy was somebody who was ready to leave her husband and his apartment. And maybe by being in this apartment and being this place and living this life as this divorced woman, that this will give her the power necessarily to finally get herself out of this marriage.
Yeah, she'll realize that she can do it, and it's okay.
But what about Paul?
Yes, well, then she goes back home to find Johnny. Paul had brought Johnny home. And this scene was painful, because when Paul is basically telling her not to mollycoddle Johnny... She decides not to mollycoddle him, and
she let him have it.
Tells him everything that Joy was. She was gonna leave you, like you don't even know.
She was trapped. She felt trapped. Yeah. She had a foot out the door. She had an apartment. Boo.
I wrote, Libby is crazy, or is cray. When did I write that? When she was like yelling at Johnny when she first walked in, and then when she started telling him about what his wife's plans were, I wrote, and awful.
Crazy.
It's like I understand that she, and that's the thing with Libby, is that she gets, I get it. I tend to have outbursts myself, but she goes too far.
I just pictured her, did you see Inside Out?
No.
Oh, never mind. I just pictured her anger.
Anger
inside
taking over the console at that point.
Yeah.
It's just, she goes too far in moments where it's not necessary. It's like, you don't have to say that to that man in that moment.
I feel like she just needs to feel powerful.
Yeah, she
feels
just wants to annihilate him.
She feels so, like, she feels like she's always the doormat. And she just needs to say, I have power and I can make you feel something.
And it's everything that she should be saying to Belle.
Yeah.
Right now, directed towards Paul. And Paul, I mean, this hits him like a ton of bricks. Like, he is devastated. And he just kind of sheepishly walks out. And the next time we see him is when Libby goes to her apartment mm-hmm. and finds Paul sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess he found out. Well, I guess it's not too hard to find out if your wife rented an apartment somewhere and he's just sitting there and she kind of steps back and everything. Yeah. Doesn't.
I really wanted to watch that scene play out, but next week.
Well, you were saying, I mean, I don't know if you want to say that you are crazy shipping these things.
I am kind of. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe not
what
forever.
Does that mean? I'm
shipping
sorry.
Is a relation. Oh, come on. Relationshipping.
On a TV show, when you want two characters
really
to get
new.
Together, shipping.
I don't know.
Yeah, you ship
them. Language is evolving.
And then there's OTP, which is one
Double
true
speak,
pairing.
1984.
What? There's OTP, which is one true pairing, which is like when you know people, two people on a show are going to get together. They're the OTP, like Jack and Kate and stuff like
are
that.
Are you saying that they're an OTP?
No, they're not saying they're an OTP. I was just like also going into more like TV language.
But they're really OPP, other people's property.
Other people's.
Yeah.
No, that's old.
Other people's property. Oh, yeah.
OPP.
But either way, like, now that I said, like, when I was watching the way that Paul was with Johnny, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, okay, like, I like Paul. I didn't really have an opinion about him at first, because remember, like, at first we were like, did he hit her? Is that why she's, like...
Yeah, there was some speculation about that.
There was a little speculation there. So, anyway, like, now that I see, like, he's kind of, like, he's not the worst, I was like, yeah, it could be fun. Whatever.
Well, I think Libby needs to be alone. Like, I think...
She's alone. She's been alone for 10, 15 years.
That's a fair point.
For her to get out of this whole cycle of lashing out at people or going back from being, like, trying to be liberated but then saying, like, really horrible sexist stuff. And then she just needs to kind of find herself before she can be with any man. So I don't really want her to be with Paul. I just kind of want Libby to be alone.
Libby needs a hobby.
Does it help that Paul is the man that she unleashed all this stuff onto, that maybe now Paul changes for the better and maybe it becomes a healthy relationship that they're very open about their feelings in? Paul was Bill, and now that he's had this thrown at him, he becomes someone else. Libby becomes, I mean, is there...
Libby's becoming Joy. She's becoming Mrs. Yeah. Edley.
You have to do it by yourself. I think she has to do it by herself. I think Paul would have to do it by himself. And then should they meet in the middle? I think that would be productive for both of them.
I don't know.
But I don't
how many episodes? We don't have very many episodes left for them to go find themselves.
We've still got about half a season.
Well, we have half a season.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can plenty of time for these two
time.
Crazy kids
they
to find themselves and get together.
I'm going to go to Australia and figure it all out.
We've already had a year since episode one. A year has passed.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the show. It's like boom, boom, boom.
Well, let's talk about Bill being the assistant coach. He wants to be the assistant coach. And we've talked about this before. Bill, you know, for such like a kind of a stuffy guy, he's got this thing about athleticism. He was big into boxing and football, and he wants
it's
to be the coach.
Weird.
And
it's from his dad.
From his dad.
Yeah. And he feels like, you know, he could, he'll be the coach of this team. And I guess he says it's because Johnny, but I can't think of another reason why it would be other than Johnny, but it feels weird anyway that he's trying to connect with his son. But I guess that is what it's about.
I don't know.
And he just does a piss poor job of it.
I think it's about Johnny in the beginning, and I think also with it's just Bill wanting to have something to do outside of his work.
Because
maybe?
I mean, what him asking about the coaching stemmed from him seeing Dan and
Virginia
at the beginning of the episode
and talk about people slipping away.
And I was just wondering, you know, I don't know. For some reason, I just don't see Johnny ever being the reason that Bill does anything.
I know, but I can't think of another.
Reason for
it's
him
so
to be the
horrible.
Coach. It's so
what
random.
We think of this man that we're saying he wouldn't do anything for his kid.
I think there is a part of him that wants to connect with Johnny. I don't think he knows how to do that because he's not the most emotionally intelligent man in the world. But
and maybe sports was like one way he's like, yeah, I know about this.
That's
stuff,
what
maybe we can bond over this.
He's passionate about sports, so I could see him wanting to be a part of that. I could see him wanting to develop a relationship with Paul as well. So because. Outside of his relationship with Virginia, outside of his relationship with Libby, he doesn't really interact with anyone.
Mm-mm.
You know,
no.
So all he has is his work and this like marriage that's falling apart. So I could see him wanting to have a distraction from those things. But you know, the moment that Johnny goes out there, it's just not Johnny, and then he finds that it is more like Dennis.
I don't know.
Well,
Johnny seemed to kind of like when Bill wasn't there.
When Paul took over, yes.
Here's the thing: from the minute this starts, you know it's going to be a disaster, and from the second it starts, it is a disaster. First, Johnny doesn't want to do it,
yeah,
because that doesn't seem like Johnny's thing.
He just wants
it's
to
Bill's
read.
Thing. Yeah, and then
he's an indoor child.
Yeah. Like you said, the second Johnny becomes all about it, Bill isn't even there for it. And, yeah, Bill, this was great. Because last week, I know I wasn't here to talk about it, but that scene where Bill got really crazy and shook down Dennis made him piss his pants and said...
And stole his football.
Stole his football.
He didn't steal it. He dropped it and the boy ran and Bill picked it up.
I know. I just thought it was funny about how much the football was an issue.
Right? Football. That kid, Dennis, wants his football back. And quite frankly, Dennis should get his football back.
Yeah.
But he... I like what he said to him last week. He's like, when a doctor makes it... That's a great... bizarre threat.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that old adage when a doctor threatens you. Oh, yeah.
I guess because there's no place you can go, really. Like, no one's going to take care of you. It's not like you can go to the doctor to heal your wounds. It's stupid.
But, if I go to the doctor next time and get threatened, I know that I got to take it seriously. There's nothing I can do.
How crazy was this also? I mean, like, just little things where, like, when they were in the game and Bill was there and he kept calling Dennis, but he kept calling Johnny 33.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. Good catch.
Yeah.
And just like little, and then just to watch like Bill just completely get over it and just like act like it was no big deal was like so.
The 33 things into him because like he's dehumanizing his own son.
Yeah.
And it was a great little reveal that the quarterback who had been punished and wasn't supposed to be in the game, and Bill's like, get him in the game, and it turns out to be Dennis. And Bill immediately realizes this is going to be a problem. And I think this is why he did try a little extra hard with Dennis at the beginning, because he knows you can't go around shaking down little kids. Even if they are bullying your son.
But, I mean, he was saying the kind of stuff that Johnny's probably... He was like, you could play for Nebraska. Just like, you know, all these, like, wonderfully fatherly kind words of encouragement that he'd never said to Johnny.
I actually, when that scene started, I thought Dennis was going to go out and blow it because Bill was there. I thought that was going to be, like, there was going to be some psychological... But, no, he goes out there and the kid is a star.
I know.
The kid
could play for Nebraska. He's 3 years older than all the other boys on the team. I would just like to remind everyone because he has been held back.
That's
so
true.
He's too big for that team.
He, that scene was so great because then Johnny gets in the game and immediately gets knocked down. Mm-hmm. But Bill's barely paying attention. He's all about Dennis, this, like, phenom kid. And then later, when what was so interesting is Johnny ended up having two tackles in the next game.
Yeah.
And Bill wasn't there to see it. And Johnny mentions him. He wasn't there either. When Libby missed it, everyone missed it. Poor Johnny. Everyone's missing his triumph.
It's like Hook.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just in terms of...
Run home, Jack.
Just the love that a child is looking for from their parent. Mm-hmm. And if there's anyone that comes in and fills that position, it's the same thing with Dennis. Dennis doesn't really have... His mom's out. She's just out at 9 o'clock at night, and he can just walk to this stranger's house. And that... Bill is willing to fill that position for Dennis, even though he's not willing to fill the position for his own son.
Well,
it's interesting.
Just his poor son's face, seeing that him talking to Dennis throughout this episode. Even, you know, it's mentioned later when Johnny's there with both his parents that Dennis was there. And just poor Johnny's face about, oh, my father is
accepting my bully. Yeah.
But you know what's... What stinks, if Bill was any kind of normal father to Johnny or good father to Johnny, what he's doing with Dennis would actually be a good thing. Because here's a kid who has no one.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly, his mother's never around. And he's kind of taking him in there and he's kind of bonding with him. And if he was any kind of real parent to his own son, maybe he can get these two kids together to be friends or something.
Like forgive it. You know, this is a point coming from place. Forgiveness. You know what I mean? There's no use holding these kind of...
You're both teammates now. And he would actually take the time and try to work it out between them.
If he had that relationship.
But we're missing that little link.
And Johnny's never going to let that happen at this point because they never had the relationship before that.
Johnny just needs to be kidnapped and taken to Neverland and raised by Captain Hook.
And then he'll know. It's interesting, this idea.
That's season four.
Season four. This kind of idea, this, like, kind of surrogate parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about that with, in terms of Tessa and her grandmother, where it feels like Grandma was kind of trying to be a surrogate parent, but Tessa kind of, it doesn't feel like she's as receptive of it as it seems that Dennis and Johnny are of their
of their
respective surrogate parents. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that Bill brought out that complete set of 1933 football cards again.
He could do that with Johnny. I mean, that's a game that he could do with Johnny.
That's exactly what it's like. Because even if Johnny wasn't the biggest football fan or something, he could at least have him play that game with him.
Yeah.
And maybe it could be fun. And maybe it'd be like, hey, watch what your old man could do.
Hard, though, when
they're past that point.
When you're an indoor child, I was an indoor adult. And you're the child of, like, my mother was, like, the head of the cheerleaders and homecoming queen and student body president. When you are the child to that, you're just never really going to get along.
Yeah.
Not as much as you can, because you just come from, like, two very different worlds.
Yeah.
And they want you to behave a certain way, and they don't get that you just aren't. It's like introvert and extrovert. So I'm not going to behave that way.
He should be trying to, instead of putting, and although, like you said, it seems like Johnny kind of likes the football team now.
Yeah, well, I think Paul has a way of getting in and talking to him.
But you can't help but think that maybe Bill should have, I don't know, take his son to a museum or a movie or done things with him.
What Libby had said, why don't you take him down to, she said, some type of the science museum or something. You know, he would be interested in that, and he just ignored it. And he's like, no, football. But it's just really about how you maneuver with the child. I think Paul's way of getting Johnny to enjoy it is just a more gentle touch, which is what he needs, and Bill's is just, like, muscling through.
As per usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
What did you guys think about Al and Isabella hitting on Bill and Virginia separately?
That's what I wanted to talk about next.
That was really interesting. Is it transference? Perhaps it is.
It does seem like they're two people who this is just what they have been doing in their relationship.
I think it was more so Al. That was something that he had been doing, because he even kind of confessed to just being somebody who wants to conquer people.
And also someone who is intoxicated by the newness that we were talking about before.
Yes, the newness. I think with Isabella, I think she just felt starved for the male attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely is seeking attention, because everything she's doing is so over the top.
Yeah.
The way she rips open her shirt for Virginia, like, you wouldn't want to, you know.
She's like, babe, you just ripped off all your buttons. You know how long it takes to sew up buttons?
I know.
Yeah, she's got to walk out of there now.
I know.
Yeah. But also how she had, basically with Bill, and Bill played that, like, perfectly and medically, and he's not fazed by any of this behavior. But, you know, it struck me at first when Isabella was talking about being upset with Al. She was like, when she said, and look the way he looks at you, Virginia, and the way... At first, there was a moment where I wondered if all this infidelity was in her head, because she talked so crazily about it. Mm. Like, as if every waitress is someone he could be sleeping with. But no, it isn't.
He is sleeping with all of those people.
And it's not that she's frigid because she can reach orgasm in 54 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's that... it's this emotional thing that they are not connecting on anymore.
Yeah.
The idea that we talked about, I think, earlier, where he's still trying to find that woman on the big screen. He wants to be with that woman and not the real woman he has.
He just wants the illusion.
And
he doesn't want the real thing.
When they were asking her what her first kind of things were, they were just kind of like surface level attractions.
He had a nice smile. He was tall.
Yeah, he had a good body.
He said that he wanted her.
Yeah.
Which... for first impressions, that's not like the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but she didn't say anything about he was so, you know.
He made me laugh.
Because he probably didn't do anything. Al
really
doesn't seem like the most, charming individual. He's only there because he wants to bring her to see Gil the gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I thought it was interesting how that was laid out, because you see with each session more and more how different these two people are and how blunt Al is about his reasons for not taking any of this seriously. Mm-hmm. And they just want to be with different versions of each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's another great example with the show of using the patience to really reflect what's going on with Bill and Virginia. We saw it in episode 2 with the other famous clients they had, with the Shah of Iran and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Al and Isabella.
Yeah. They're gaining a lot of notoriety.
Yeah. You know, I think Bill has this kind of idea that Virginia is maybe more invested than he thinks.
So,
or than he more invested than she actually is. There we go. Yeah, phrasing got off.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything. Yeah. So, do we want to do some predictions for next week?
Sure.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Adrian, would you like to go first? You're raising your hand.
No, I'm just stretching.
Oh, I thought you have something good.
I just wanted to crack my sternum. I guess with Virginia and Dan, I think they'll continue their dalliance. I think you're talking about words that should come back.
Mollycoddling, dalliance,
malarkey,
OTP shipping. It's crazy. It's crazy how things evolve.
There you go. I'm bringing back mollycoddling.
Mollycoddling. Yeah. I think Bill will start to see the repercussions of him having a relationship with Dennis. I think Libby and Paul, though I don't really want to see this, might develop something romantically just from their absence of their other spouses. And I really hope that Tessa finally is, like, set down with Betty. I just want their relationship to build and, mm-hmm. like, for her to have that as or Betty as her role model.
I just want more Betty. I mean, she's only got one scene, really, in this episode.
Yeah. But every scene she's in is awesome.
I know.
She kills it. I am really interested now to see more of, like, the pheromone science kind of come to light. Mm. Now that we kind of have, like, kind of tipped the iceberg a little bit there, I'm really excited to see what else comes up. And the fact that, like, Lester's sweat is obviously, like, killing it.
It's just women don't even realize it's making their nipples hard.
It's funny because I wanted them to touch on, and I know they won't, just, like, how certain pheromones don't work for every single woman and how they work at different times, all depending on, like, where the woman is in her cycle. But, you know, that's us, we'll like, see. Having, you know, more awareness in 2015.
Yeah. Anyway, also excited to see everything about the animal stuff, the gorillas, and the moths.
My prediction for next week, it's just an hour of hardcore gorilla sex. That's what I'm thinking. That's what's going on. But no, I think it'll
be a bottle episode of just
exactly.
Animals.
Just a whole episode at the zoo. Yeah. And I think Bill is very quickly going to find out just how far this relationship with Dan Logan has gone, and it's going to produce a lot. I think it's going to push him out
off.
Of... We are. Okay. Get him pushed out of that office as soon as he can. I think Bill's going to want Dan out.
Yeah.
So, Adrian,
you
where can the people find
me
you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow, MSEDRIANSNOW.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian, on Instagram at Quinstagram, and you can search for me on Vine at the Quinn Bee.
And you can find me on Twitter at The Real Will Link, and you can listen to my pop culture comedy podcast, Will Sean Podcast. Find it on iTunes. It's funny. You'll like it. Until then, we'll see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.